Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene. We are part of Empire Media at AmpireMedia.com. I'm Wole, and I'm joined by Will T and Ray Jeezy. What is good, fellas?
UMES is good. Hey, listen, I'm so excited about this victory, and I'm glad it is right before the Christmas break because we get to bask in UMES's first big win over a big school. I don't know if the A-10 is a Power 5 conference, but
Temple's a Power 5
conference. It's up there, but regardless, UMES is trending in these HBCU streets. And on a national scale, they did something big. Shout out to Coach Crafton, a friend of the show. He is turning that program around, changing the culture. I will hit the UMES chant right now, but I'm not going to do it, though.
It's too long.
I will hit it.
It's too long.
Not going to do it, but shout out to the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. You got it right, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, it was good, Will T.
Good, man. Everything is copacetic on this end. Just looking forward to the holidays this Saturday. Looking forward to Christmas on Sunday.
Yeah, man, you ain't see the UMES game, bro? You ain't see what we did?
I didn't.
Morgan State, we beat Temple, bro. Like, I need you to be all for it.
I mean, congratulations. I mean, you know, I don't know if I would consider Temple a huge victory, but...
Wow, for a while,
Maryland Eastern Shore, that's a big one.
because that's kind of like the standard that you guys kind of, you know, set for yourselves. But us, you know, we Power 5, you know, the big time. That's what we get excited over, those victories.
Morgan beat Maryland a few years back. Got to show love to Morgan State. I'm all for every HBCU. It's just my HBCU has not gotten the shine, and now we finally getting it. So, Will T, I got an umbrella, baby. You're not raining on my parade, homie.
Anyway, yeah, Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene.
Happy belated birthday, by the way, to John Kime, part of Empire Media. Also, make sure to subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel, and also check us out on Podcast DC, that local app with hundreds of options in news and health right here in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire shows as well as other great content.
Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Check out our weekly NFL picks on the Football Garbage Time website. Just go to www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's part of the Urban Sports Scene versus Football Garbage Time.
Will like the Rams. Will like the Rams on that joint.
Wait,
what,
he last?
Will is like beyond last right now. And he won last season.
I suck too.
Hey, Will. Yeah, I mean, it's been a few weeks I haven't filled out my picks, so.
Yeah, I know. Right. I know. That did you win.
Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates.
All right, Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right, here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Commanders falling to the New York Giants and their upcoming game against the San Francisco 49ers. At 8:25, as part of our HBCU Corner segment, we'll recap the Celebration Bowl. North Carolina Central defeated Jackson State University in overtime, 41-34. We'll have HBCU legends Kyle T. Mosley on the line. And finally, we'll talk about the NBA Christmas Day games. Just from the Above the Rim podcast show, will join us to discuss the games. All right, but first, Will T.
Oh, it's me. It's on me first.
Yeah,
oh,
right,
wow.
It's on you. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sunday night, the Commanders fell to the Giants at FedEx Field, 20-12. The Commanders are now the seventh seed in the NFC playoff race. What are your thoughts on the game, Wole?
It was a terrible game. I thought they weren't prepared for the bye. I mean, coming after the bye, I thought that you know, a lot of folks are going to go into the officiating, and it wasn't the best, but to me, like, after a bye, you played that team prior to the bye, and to come out with that performance, I think that's all on you. So, to me, it's a damning blow to the organization and team that was trying to gain momentum. So, that's my opinion about that game, bro. Ray, what's your opinion?
Ray?
I've shared my thoughts, even though my internet, of course, had issues during our post game this past weekend, which annoyed me, but I want to mess with the fans a bit. I have a little fun because I'm seeing so much on Twitter about the officiating. And it's ironic because a few weeks back in Philly, remember, Will T, we were here and we had a spirited discussion about the officiating when Philly was on the wrong end of some calls. But now the Commanders fans are up in arms about, oh, Terry was lined up properly. That was a pass interference at the end of the game. Maybe it was. I'm not denying that. But you had so many opportunities in the red zone. There was other penalties, including the Curtis Samuel play for the two-point conversion that I felt like was a good call. To blame this game on the refs, I think that Commanders fans need to stop. Every team in the NFL has experienced bad calls this year. It's part of the game. Let's move forward. Execute. Scott Turner's offense needs to execute in the red zone. You got to be more disciplined. Taylor Heinicke, he needs to use his legs. You need to use play action. There's a lot of issues that went wrong for the Commanders, not the officiating. I'm tired of hearing about it.
What was your point?
A couple of things. I like the use of kind of how they mixed and matched with Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson at one point. Mm-hmm. Both of those guys have a similar running style, but they have different skill set, particularly Antonio Gibson, using him out of the backfield on screens and short passes. That's the first thing. Second thing is I really, really think that look, I was an advocate of keeping Taylor Heinicke in under center. But I think as you continue to make your playoff push, it's become evidently clear that Heinicke, while he has been provided a spark to this team, may not be the best long-term solution for this team if you want to go far. There are some limitations, particularly with him on the deep ball, throwing the deep ball. And then also, whenever there are larger or taller defensive linemen and the blocking scheme isn't, when they're in passing and the blocking scheme isn't set up for it to create gaps between the offensive linemen, it makes it very hard for him to see downfield and to see intermediate throws. So his lack of height and his lack of arm talent, for lack of a better word, are definitely going to be some things that I think fans and the organization are going to have to take into consideration going forward as they, particularly this season, these last couple of games, as they try to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm with you. I think there's a lot of limitations with Taylor Heinicke. I mean, we've said it before. You know where I stand. I think everybody knows where I stand with Taylor Heinicke. You know, this game is evident. Like, there are a lot of big plays that were out left on the field. You know, one comes to mind, De'Ami Brown had two corners, had the safety and a corner beat, but a better pass, that's a touchdown. Even the play to Curtis Samuel down the sideline on that drive, the last drive of the game, he was wide open. There's nobody over the top. Taylor Heinicke didn't have the arm strength. He just floated over there. If he just throw it to him, if he throws it to him on stride, that's a touchdown. There's nobody in front of Curtis Samuel on that play. That's an easy score. So there's just a lot of limitations for him, especially on the deep ball. I think we'll talk about it, but I think the next game is going to be telling about Taylor Heinicke. But in terms of what Will T is talking about, that I agree with him. I think that you saw what you need to see against the Giants team, because you're going to look at the stat line and you're going to say, like, and I said this on the show, but his stat line wasn't bad and he had some decent throws. But again, it goes to the competition. The Giants didn't have anybody. Their secondary was gone. Everybody was hurt. You're playing against second and third stringers, and you only were able to score 12 points. And if you heard Coach Rivera, he said that, you know, he thought about taking out Taylor Heinicke, but that second half they scored off the break, and he was like, okay, he's rolling. So I thought, okay, we're about to come back. We're about to do something. So you know, it's in his mind already. So it's in his mind that Taylor Heinicke may not be the guy. So he's basically, in my opinion, waiting for that moment where once he struggles, he's going to be replaced.
Shout out to you for not taking my bait earlier. But I want to ask you. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, I guess, man.
I got a question for you, though, honestly. And Will T, you as well. The Washington, I want to call them the football team. But the Commanders, they struggled on third down this game. Is it solely Taylor Heineke's issue that the Commanders cannot convert on third down?
No, absolutely not. I think part of it is game plan. Part of it is execution. The execution part goes to the team, the offensive unit. You know, there are definitely some instances where you see where the Giants ran a stunt, and I forgot the left guard's name. The left guard's name.
It's Noel. I think that's Noel, right? The left. Is yeah. Noel. I have to check.
Turner
or Noel? It's one of the guards.
One of the guards they failed to pick up on the stunt, and then allowed for Taylor Heineke for the defensive lineman to get right in Taylor Heineke's face and essentially obstruct his view. So I think it's two things: it's scheme, it's play calling, and execution.
All right. I'll start with you, Ray. So. You know, in this game, it's a good turnout. We talked about it a little bit before. On the prior game. It's a good turnout for fans, for absolutely. Washington Commander fans. So does this hurt the team's chances to get fans back into the stadium?
Of course I'm going to say yes, because with all the negative news surrounding this franchise constantly, even up until this game, you don't win a game against a rival that had playoff implications. However, to take a positive spin, again, to get serious tonight, at least the fans show that they still care enough to show up. So if you put a good product on the field and you begin to win and you're competitive, the fans will come out. That's what we were reminded of. No matter how bad people can talk about FedEx Field, the fans showed up and they expected this team to win, because we respect this defense. We respect what Coach Rivera has done over these last several weeks. And even Taylor Heineke, we talk about the spark he provides. The fans, they believe this team can compete with anybody. Minnesota. You lose by 3. You should have won that game. You beat Philly. The only team in the league to beat Philly thus far. So it's still a positive aspect behind the fact that your fans came out on Sunday.
Hey, Will, what are your thoughts on that, man?
No, I think we all know that no matter what goes on with this team or goes on surrounding this team, that the fans will turn out, especially if this team is playing meaningful football in late December, as they are. Now, barring terrible weather or barring some type of horrendous accident at FedEx Field, the fans of this team will continue to turn out and support this team, just because, to be quite frank, they've been devoid of winning football for a long time.
Facts.
Will T, did this loss to the Giants end the Commanders' playoff hopes?
No, I think, you know, I feel indifferent about this, and here's why. There's been a formula that this team has to execute to win games. It is run the football very well, and the defensive line has to play out of his mind and get pressure on the opposing quarterback, right? We've continued to see this team continue to run well, but I have some skepticism about this team being able to continue to play at that level defensively over the next 2 weeks and over the next 2 weeks of the season. So I want to say no, but if I'm being honest about it, I think that the loss to the Giants, a team that is devoid of a lot of talent, but is well coached, it's a very well coached team. I think that's kind of the nail in the coffin for this team, for Washington Commanders' playoff hopes.
All right, so here's the poll. We have a poll on the Urban Sports Scene Twitter. Our Twitter account is in Europe. I put this question out for fans. If, in your opinion, did the loss to the Giants end the Commanders' playoff hopes? 60% says yes. 40% say no. For me, I'm like, it puts the nail in the coffin. I just feel like I know that there's the argument that is any given Sunday. Washington, the argument's been out there that they beat the Eagles, right? You can throw that argument. But when you look at it for face value, right, let's just be totally honest with it. Let's just be real and like be a football fan and be Like act like you're an analyst. Like you had to predict the future. You're gonna lose to the Niners, right? You're gonna lose to the Niners because we already mentioned you just lost to the Giants, a team that you just said like didn't have enough talent. Actually came into that game hurt, hobbling, missing players in the secondary. They had to play Landon Collins because they didn't have bodies, and you lost to that team 20-12 at home. You could be a good team, but when you're void of talent and you're still able to hold a team to 12 points, even with the weapons, the so-called weapons that Washington has, that says a lot. Now you're going to San Fran, who stops the run. They're one of the elite defense. They're the best defense in the NFL. The absolute best defense in the NFL, coached by Kyle Shanahan, who coaches up offense. You're not going to win that game. Then you're going to, or say, now you're in Cleveland.
You're at home.
You're home against Cleveland, right? If you're looking at a pattern, again, the Cleveland game isn't going to be easy because if I know people may hate it, Deshaun Watson is getting better every week. So you're going against a quarterback who's starting to get better every week. So by the time you play Deshaun Watson, not to say he's going to be the guy that we've seen in yesteryears, but you're going to see a way more improved Deshaun Watson. And a lot of people are like, he hasn't looked good. He's getting better. That defense has studs on that side of football. Again, more studs than you saw against the Giants. So I'm just saying, like, that's not going to be easy. Now you're banking on the Cowboys resting all their players, right? Say you get through Cleveland, now you're banking on the Cowboys resting all your players. That's the argument. That's what you're hoping for. So I'm saying, like, if you're looking at it for what it is, like, this game, if you won the Giants game, you had a couple more games to play with. But you don't now. You don't have games to play with. So that's the thing. Like, if we're looking at it, forget the idea that it's any given Sunday. Forget that. We're not looking at that vision, that viewpoint, and we're just looking at football and just judging what your schedule is. No, to me, that Giants loss crippled the season. It's no hope for real. But hey, any given Sunday, right? Go with that argument. Right?
A shot of optimism.
I'm just saying, like, we judge stuff on, like, what it is. Like, if you tell me what's the chances of this dude doing X, Y, Z, I'm going to give you the chances. So, for me, like, what's the chances of this team going to the postseason? It's real slim.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the part that hurts is you had the control. You had the ability to control your destiny, and you fumbled the bag at home. But you got to move forward now. You got to have a short memory, and now you have a tall task ahead of you. But as you keep mentioning, any given Sunday, it is a real thing. The Houston Texans prove that every week that you can be competitive, and that's all you ask this team to do is give themselves a shot. And with that being said, is there a legitimate chance that the Washington Commanders can win this game against the 49ers come Saturday?
Legitimate chance. I don't think so. Will, what do you think?
Nope. I'm traveling all the way to the West Coast. Brock Purdy looks like a guy. I'm going to just be honest with you. Brock Purdy looks like the second coming of Tom Brady, to be honest with you, over these past first couple of games.
I ain't going that far. I think he's got Kyle.
No, I mean, just the way he's calm, he's cool, he's playing within himself, he's not trying to play outside of the offense, or he's playing to his strength. He has a coach that's coaching to his strength. Mm-hmm. They have a strong run game, great defense. You got some playmakers on the outside on all levels of the offense. I don't think Washington can win this game. I don't think they have a chance. I think Kyle Shanahan has stayed up many late nights waiting for the opportunity for this, you know, had this game circled on his calendar and said, hey, I have the opportunity to close this team's playoff hopes after the way they treated me and my father. I don't think Washington has any chance.
What about you, man?
I always give teams a chance. I told Wole many times, this applies to any team in the league. I don't look at the schedule because you never know what can happen. Injuries can happen. Momentum could change. Maybe some new play calling by Scott Turner, some new game plan. Not saying it's going to happen, but at this point, you have to try any and everything to get a win that you desperately need, and at least you go down swinging. That's my thing. So, of course, I give him a chance. Did I pick them? I already made my picks. Shout out to Hakeem Wong. I picked
the
49ers.
You made your picks already?
Yeah, because the game's on tomorrow, so I got to make sure I get my picks in on time.
All right.
It's against
me. Well, that's what's up.
I try to get them in before Thursday because I fell victim of not having my picks in, and I'm behind a bit. Not that it matters that much. I was checked out like week 11, to be honest. Like, but at the same time, anyway, the point is I'm giving them a chance. Absolutely. We all should. That's your choice if you don't. However, do I think they're going to win? No, absolutely not. Because the 49ers defense is percolating, as my man Muhammad says.
On Twitter, man, my man Adam said, in terms of the same question, I wouldn't say I'm very confident about that. I'm confident about that. But the Commanders are the only team to beat the Eagles. No one gave them a chance in that game. So it's definitely possible they beat the Niners.
That game was, come on, man. It's the officiating is what won that game.
Going but, back to it.
But I got one more. I got one more tweet before we go to, because we got to go to break soon. So one more tweet. My man Cameron Camigo said, very confident. I don't know why very confident. But this is the first time Brock Purdy will face against a top 10 defense. Okay.
Loyalty.
And if Chase Young or St. Juice comes back, I like our chances. Lastly, key to the game is to get off to a good start and get after Brock Purdy early and often.
Don't get behind. I agree.
There goes that magical word, if.
If. Hey, Will T.
Had ball.
Oh, here you go.
I knew it was coming.
Here you go.
Uh-oh. You can't say that in this day and age with all the pronouns going around anyway.
Yeah, I shouldn't say it, but
my non-binary uncle.
Hey, man, North Carolina Central shocked the world by upsetting Coach Prime and Jackson State in the Celebration Bowl. HBCU legends Kyle T. Mosley will join us to talk about the Celebration Bowl after the break. You're listening to Urban Sports Scene.
The ages.
Yeah,
deuces. On Empire Media, that's empiremedia.com.
Straight out of ATL. Got Young One chopping that thing, baby. Swiss Beats, full surface.
In the hood, I might just toss. Underground, downtown, I might just toss. Give me the key to the city, I'ma lock this. They ain't gon' take me alive, and you can bet that. Hit them where the chest at, hit them where the neck at. Show me where the wrist at. They in the same building, living like a mess pack. 4 miles from where the deck at. Bet that, shout if you and me gon' ride over to the other side. It's how these motherfuckers die. First make a prank call and get the kids out the house. Ain't tryna kill no kid, but I'ma turn it lights out. Money, then I'm kicking her out. I spit game to your wife, then we robbing your house. Not that way, I've been gripping the frame. If you got it and I want it, I ain't calling your name. Just lay it down, boy, like a ball and see. Just get your chest to the lap. In a white G-Wagon with my arm out the window, gripping up. Dog, get it right, I got Houston on lock. I kid it right, I switch the lights every time I buy a drop, homie. You got Swiss on the beat, I gotta come with the heat. It's David Banner, young one in FLIB.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Will T, and Ray Jeezy, and we are part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com.
Yes, sir, it's time for my favorite segment, HBCU Corner. Right now, We have a guy who's a friend of the show. He's no longer just a guest. He's a friend of the show. It's a blessing to have him. HBCU Legends Managing Editor and Chief Reporter Kyle T. Mosley's on the line. What's up? And welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene.
What's going on, Wale? What's going on, Ray? How y'all doing?
We're good.
Hey, we're excited. Our HBCU is making noise out here, if you haven't seen it.
UMES, shock the world, we beat Temple. We in there.
You just going to laugh at us, huh?
I know, right?
What did Morehouse do lately? That's what I had to ask my man. I'm just joking. I love all HBCUs.
MEAC pride, man. MEAC pride.
MEAC, baby.
The MEAC is showing up. That's for sure. Yeah, so I have to applaud the MEAC for everything that you got. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right.
Okay.
Kyle,
yeah. All right. And Kyle, this is Will too. We have Will. So it's Will too. I make sure that Will's our other co-host.
How you doing, Will?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Kyle? Mm-hmm.
Good, man.
All right. In the Celebration Bowl, North Carolina Central University defeated Jackson State University in overtime, 41-34. What are your thoughts on the game, Kyle?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question. let me just give you a general overview. Mm-hmm. I had that feeling early that morning it was going to be another upset. Mm-hmm. I just had that feeling. I didn't get a chance to attend because I, as well as my son, came down with COVID, man. Mm-hmm. So I was barely able to kind of stay awake for the game. Mm-hmm. But I tell you this much. Trey Oliver proved that he knows how to lead a winning program. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Jackson State made some mistakes. It made some defensive mistakes that were uncharacteristic. But I kind of saw this when I was at the SWAC championship when Jackson State was up, 26-0. Then all of a sudden they allowed Southern to kind of do a rally to try to get back the game. Defensively, they just weren't focused as I thought they were going to be focused. All right, now. That's not an excuse. Uh-huh. Central won the game. But got to give their credit because offensively, defensively, as well as on special teams, they played the better complete game than Jackson State. Hello?
Yeah, we did there. Will, you got the next one, Will?
Yeah, hold on. No, I was breaking up. My bad. In terms of all time Celebration Bowls, where would you rank this Celebration Bowl?
Man, this was an epic Celebration Bowl. You had two heavyweights going. I have to say, this has to be, if not the top. I know that Grambling. I know the first one was pretty good.
Yeah.
But this has to be, in my opinion, from recent memory, this would have to be the best one.
Ooh, all time, considering your knowledge and how far you just go back with your memories of, it hasn't been that many Celebration Bowls. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm thinking all-time games.
It hasn't been that many, man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they've had some good classic games, you know, the A&T game against Alcorn's good, as well as against Grambling. Those were good games. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying those weren't good games, but these were two of the best. I had these guys number one, two for majority of the season.
Oh, wow, okay.
And it came down to that these were the two best teams. And they proved it out on the field.
So, Kyle, would you say would you say that, do you think the Celebration Bowl should open up to other HBCU conferences rather than just the SWAC and the MEAC? Because I've seen it on Twitter. A lot of folks are saying, like, this can't be a real HBCU Super Bowl if you're not opening it up for all other HBCU schools.
That's for the higher to be, man, mm-hmm. To really consider.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe right now, let's say if Benedict went against Troy as well as they went against Jackson State, would they be able to win that game?
Good point.
I don't know. I mean, they had a great season. Mm-hmm. Coach Berry is one of the top coaches now in HBCU as well, but I don't know if they would win that game. I don't know if anyone from the CIAA would be able to stand toe-to-toe. Coach Hayes and his crew at Fayetteville, I don't know if they'd be able to win that game. That's the only concern I have.
Did you mention Eddie George in that? Because him being out in Ohio Valley Conference, he doesn't have the opportunity to play in that game. I think that's what a lot of people, I guess, are alluding to. Is because remember when Coach Prime went head-to-head with Coach Eddie George, it was a really good game. It was one of them old-school, rugged football games. Not a lot of scoring. Defensive football game. So I guess there are ways you could tweak it. The same way the FBS improved the college football playoff system.
I think if it was a neutral track like we saw in Atlanta, mm-hmm. Tennessee State wouldn't have a prayer.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
George, he has been struggling though.
Well, I mean, I'm just throwing it out there because he's.
And if you remember in that Jackson State game, Jackson State lost the football like two or three times inside the red zone. You know, very uncharacteristic offensive plays. One guy, I remember, fumbled the ball into the end zone. Shadur threw an interception in the end zone. You know, so I don't think if it was Jackson or Central that Texas Southern, I'm going with the TSU, Tennessee State mm-hmm. will be able to win. No, I don't believe so.
So when you joined us last time, two things you said stood out to me. Well, it was more than two things, but two things I want to mention now. One is you said we would have a lot of fun, which we've had. Wole, you can speak to that. We've had a lot of fun just out here in this business covering all sports, including HBCUs. But also you talked about how we would develop relationships. And one of those relationships we've developed is with MEAC Commissioner Sonya Stills. Awesome person. When she came on with us, she didn't mention Coach Prime by name, but she referenced the comment about the MEAC folding up like a tent. And I've been putting out there on Twitter, I've been mad at Coach Prime since then, I'm being honest, even though I'm a fan of his playing days, and I love what he did. But the reason why I said that is because I just feel like this win by Central is gratifying for her. Because let's just say the MEAC did fold up and you form a super conference, as Coach Prime suggested, then he bails and goes to Colorado. Then where does that leave the HBCU super conference? What's your thoughts on that? And just what are your thoughts about just the MEAC feeling – sort of validated with another victory over the SWAC?
Funny you said that. So, was it the Friday or Saturday before the Celebration Bowl the following week? I interviewed Commissioner Steele.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the best interviews I had in a long time. She was very funny, entertaining, as well as insightful, right? And she said when she's in Vegas and she's with Coach Oliver as well as Richard and the defensive player of the year, told them, I gave them their marching order to go in and then they know what they need to do. They know what they need to do, right? And she also kind of say, we don't need to showboat. We're in MEAC, I don't need to showboat. So she was sending a message back then with me as well, man. Let's be real. When you get down to the end of the season, you have to have a balanced running, passing, attack. Mm-hmm. Miak shows that. Also, one thing Miak has proven is that they have better interior play than the SWAC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm talking recently.
Yes.
And if guys want to go back, all the way back when, you know, and grandma. No, I'm talking about recently. those guys have to play that type of control type of football, right, because of the elements that exist on the East Coast. So, therefore, they're not as a finesse team as much as they are a power team. And you saw how South Carolina State last season took control of Jackson interior and put pressure on that offensive line. This year, when it was Jackson's offense against Central's defense, Jackson's offensive threat with Wilkerson couldn't get going, right? So, therefore, I don't understand why Bartoni kept on trying to run the ball when it was proven over and over again they were that was the impenetrable force right there. Now, the Central defensive line didn't do a heck of a lot to get to Sanders, but they did enough off to the edges to blitz him to be able to harass him a little bit, right? It wasn't a great amount, but especially if you look at that last play, how number 23 got to him and kind of affected what he was going to do in the end zone when he couldn't get the ball to Hunter, as well as Coleman. So, anyway, story short, and all I'm saying is this. Deion Sanders knew at the beginning of the season, even last season, that he had to work on his offense and defensive line. Uh-huh. And you saw them make a number of changes. My question was, inside of that game, where was Niles Gaddy the whole game? I don't even think he played in the game. Offensively, they didn't have play Willie Gaines in there as well. So I just don't know what happened internally with Jack. I think sometimes there were so many distractions going on. You didn't know what was happening, if he was in Colorado one day, if he was back in Jackson, or what was happening. And we're talking about young men who are 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old. You can tell me that this did not have an effect on how they were preparing for that game. Okay? Now, on the flip side, you have a Central team that was tired that they were this, and you know, and the bravado and the swagger was becoming an issue for them. It became an issue for Coach Oliver. You could tell in his press conferences afterwards that, you know, he just didn't care for it, you know. And likewise, if you listen to Coach Pugh last year, he didn't care for it.
Yeah.
So, and you got to give kudos to him because he's the only coach in this whole calendar year, even from last Celebration Bowl, to defeat Jackson as well as defeat Central. Yeah. Think about that.
Yeah, Coach Pugh is amazing, man.
Think about that.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Can't be A&T, though.
So, can't be A&T, but A&T now going on a different direction. Mm-hmm. Don't know who they're going to choose. Is it going to be Cornell Manor, their old alma mater, you know, to be alone to get him in? Or could it be Trevor? Could he be a part of that mix? You know, he has some ties to A&T and you know, through Broadway and everything. So, I mean, it's an interesting time in HBCU football because people think Deion Sanders left and you're not going to get the excitement any longer. I say it's all contrary because now he's laid out a blueprint how these guys can, I'm talking about the coaches, how they could be able to utilize social media for their recruiting efforts, for publicizing and promoting their programs, for just getting the interest up for games and things of that nature. So you see how well FAMU today has done. You see, surprisingly, how well Texas Southern down here in Houston has done today. They landed 8 guys that were are pretty good players. Prairie View has done a very good job. Then you look at Jackson State. You know, T.C. Taylor has pretty nice crop of guys, and some guys decided to pull their name from the transfer portal. So, yeah, I think next season is going to be interesting because it's wide open. You don't have that air of dominance that's lingering over, but you can have more of a parity that's going to be with some of these guys on the top.
Will?
Kyle, we're going to get you out of here. Before we let you go, I have one more question for you. What do you make of the perceived, I guess, overexcitement of in North Carolina Central knocking off Jackson State, particularly some of the reaction of fans with their perceived joy with sending Coach Prime to Colorado with an L in his last game in the SWAC?
Well, if you're going to dish, you got to take it.
Okay.
Right. I watched a video produced by my son, Sanders Jr., right? And Deion was on the bus leaving the hotel by himself, and it was just he and Junior. And he was talking and said, hey, you know, when we grow up, into the stadium later today, and we I don't know if he said whoop up on them or destroy them like that, you know. I mean, that's really a projection that thought we were going to dominate these guys. So if you're going to say those type of stuff, I'm from, New Orleans, so you won't be about it. Look how you going to be about it.
Master P, let's go. Let's go, P, let's go.
All right. If you push up on me, you got to be. I shared this with my son this past weekend. If you push up on a man, you have to be willing to go all the way and beat through that guy, or are you going to accept the beat down? Right?
Yeah.
We ain't talking about guns and knives and all this stuff. We're talking about blow for blow. Yeah. Therefore, Bill, when the fans are, some fans are just being disrespectful, right? But the air that was projected and had disrespectful too. Because if you just talk about a season where you're going to cruise through everybody, and when you get to the end, you don't finish like you said you're going to finish. This is the mission to finish. Therefore, you got to take your lumps.
All right, we're going to get you out of here on this question. Well, it's a two-parter because you've made it well-known out of all the many interviews you've done, Coach Prime was your favorite. I want to know, is that still the case, considering the events that have unfolded? And also, just how can you sum up his legacy, considering he never won the Celebration Bowl?
Okay, Coach Prime was a favorite interview. He was a very entertaining coach. He gave us a lot of hit news to report, right? He also gave me one interview, and I appreciate that to this day because he didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
for the HBCU media guys, it basically means that you got to go to work and be able to find the angles, cover football the way it needs to be covered, because you may not have the sound bites this season like you had before. You might get it from, let's say, Coach Oliver, because, you know, he's good for those one. You know?
Got him. Love him.
Eddie Robinson Jr., he can give too, right? So you're not going to have that big personality, the supernova that's out there, that's causing everybody to look at me. You may have just little here and there you got to look at. That's what's going to make it more interesting and challenging, in my opinion, because there's not going to be everybody focusing just on that one person, right? So every Monday, we knew, Coach Brian, the last one, you see, got on the call for hours until it was time for him to come. So you're not going to have that anymore. All right. What's the second part? Legacy. All right. hey, man, I don't care. I think it is a hollow ending.
I agree. He with me. I agree. That's what I wanted to hear.
If you're going to talk about I'm going to dominate, we're going to dominate.
You lost both Celebration Bowls.
And you can't finish. And I'm coming back to finish. Think about this. Even to coach into the Celebration Bowl was unheard of.
Yeah.
When you decide to leave a program, both administrators shut that down from the beginning. All right, well, you're leaving, you go. And let me just paint this picture to you guys, Will, Wale, and Ray, right? So if you're a woman, you're sharing a house. If you're married or are you sharing a house or apartment, whatever, right? If she comes to you and say, hey, I'm leaving tonight. Okay, and Christmas is in a couple weeks, so I'll be back Christmas. I want to say, okay, I'll be in. No, what you're going to do is say, you got to go. Take your bag, that, and bye-bye, right?
It don't matter who you are, Pam Grier, Ashanti, Beyonce, AJ Johnson for your Morehouse reference. You got to go.
I don't have to say, okay, I understand. Come on back there, baby. No. You're pretty much going to be done with Hallie, too, right? Let's be honest about this, guys. So this is what Coach Prime did to Jackson State, and nobody else wants to recognize this. He really pretty much punked Jackson State.
Okay.
All right. Tell me if I'm wrong. Correct me, guys, if I'm wrong.
All right.
So I get on the plane because I was at that SWAC championship. He didn't come in. He said he came into the back of the room while Coach Dooley was being interviewed, and he left out. So he didn't really address the black media that came from all across the country to cover him and the game. All right? I was kind of like, that's kind of, I didn't understand that. Then they said, I had to go back and talk to my kids, right? I'm looking at, when I walked outside the door, they still had a couple of the players meandering around that for you. All right? Okay, so, all right. Next thing, man. So you get on, you have the meeting, you get on a jet, and you fly thousands of miles to Boulder, Colorado. You have a big press conference the next day. You're happy. You're talking to other people. You're cheesing it up. You even introduce your son as the next quarterback. So if your wife or whomever leaves your house and say, I'm gone. Don't even tell you they're gone.
Don't even
tell you to go. The next thing you see on social media, she posted up in Cancun.
With her new lover.
New dude. How you going to feel about that?
Oh, he hurt. They hurt.
How you going to feel about that, right?
They hurt. Hurt. That's terrible.
So you going to tell me those young men, when they saw Shadur, their teammate, put on Colorado gear those next days when they were going through Colorado. You don't think that kind of psychologically affected them?
Absolutely. And that's what that's what Shannon Sharp failed to ask as part of his interview. The HBCU streets are mad at him, by the way. He failed to talk about the timing of all this and how it went down. But it is what it is. We got to roll. But
yeah.
Yeah, so much.
So much. Hey, Bacal, thanks for being on. Before we let you go, please let our listeners know how they can find you on social media and check out your HBCU Legends as well.
All right. First way, check out HBCU Legends. Just type in HBCU.media in your Google bar, and you can be able to find everything about HBCU Legends on Sports Illustrated's Fan Nation. And you can check me out at KTMOZE on Twitter. And you can check us out at HBCU Legends on there as well. And don't forget, go get your tickets through the HBCU Legacy Bowl in New Orleans. It's going to be February 25th. I am a part of the planning committee for that. So be a part of that. It's going to be a good affair. Okay, and Trey Oliver is going to be one of the co-hosts.
Ooh, that's nice.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Hey, Kyle, thanks for being on. We have to get you back on. We got to talk about some more stuff. We got a lot we can talk about.
All right. Have a good one. Take care. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kyle.
All right. Here we go. All right. We're going to talk about the NBA Christmas games with Just Blaze from the Above the Rim podcast after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
The ages.
You dig.
Deuces or at Pyre Media. That's at PyreMedia.com.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Ray Jeezy, and we are part of Empire Media at AmpireMedia.com. All right, man, I'm Boost. I got my guy. This is my dude. Right now, we have host of the Above the Rim podcast, Just Blaze on the line. What's up, my man?
My boy, what's going on, Wole? Hey, how you doing, my brother?
I'm good, man. You know, it's about that time, man. It's the best time of basketball, bro. Like, this is it. You already know what time it is.
Yes, man. Damn sure is. Bro. They always got the best games today, man. Yeah, when the season starts to get sticky.
I know, right? You know it. All right, so let's get right into it, man. All right, so on Christmas, we got the Lakers versus the Mavs. We got the Sixers versus the Knicks. We got the Bucks versus the Celtics. We got the Grizzlies versus the Warriors. And we got your Suns versus the Nuggets. All right, which game are you most excited to see and why?
I'm going to be honest. I'm most excited to see that Grizzlies and Warriors game. That's the game on my mind right there. Even though it's a little bit damper now because Steph Curry's not going to be there, and then most likely Desmond Bane is not going to be there too. So I think that dampens it a little bit, but I think the spice is still there though, because I think the Grizzlies are coming in there to make a statement no matter who's on the floor for the Warriors. I think the Grizzlies are one team that really wants that villain role.
Yeah,
so that's why I think
they do.
I think they're ready to rock and roll on Christmas, man.
Hey, well, real quick. You said, like, is Steph definitely not playing? Steph not playing on Christmas?
Nah, he's not playing.
Oh,
no.
It's a waste of time. You're right then. It's a waste of time. They're nothing without
Steph. That's what I'm saying.
They're nothing without Steph. I don't even care if it's in Golden State. They're nothing without Steph. I'm sorry.
Nothing.
Draymond gives them 2 points with nothing with it. That's going to happen. 2 points with nothing in it.
2 points and a lot of noise with them 2 points. A noisy 2 points.
You know, hey, go ahead, Ray. You got it.
Just this is Ray. Just want to know, what's your least favorite game out of the feature games on Christmas Day?
What's going on, Chief? But my least, I got to say, Lakers and Mavs for me. I know Wole might be tight about this. But
I ain't
going to
lie. You're right, though. You're right. I ain't going to hold you. You're right.
Yeah, because yo, think about it. What? There's no spice to this game.
None whatsoever. Why are the Mavs? Why are they playing each other?
I have no idea. And then to make it worse, the shit is in Dallas. So I'm like, you couldn't even put that in LA.
That's what I'm saying. That's the thing. Why is it in LA? Why is it in Dallas? Like, I'm trying to figure that out. I've been trying to figure that out. Like, is it because they just wanted it to be the first game of Christmas Day? Like, but Dallas. It makes no sense.
It's not even the first. It's the second. It's the second game. Yeah. And then it's like, why though? Honestly, why are you putting the Lakers? There's no rivalry, no bad blood. You've seen it for a LeBron James game. I understand that. But you could have put him up against a lot of different teams.
The Clippers would have been the better play.
At least it would have been better. Order Suns. Put Lakers and Suns on.
I don't feel like having to ask what
the Mavs and Suns is always a good game.
I think that's a better game.
You can throw the Pelicans in there because they hate the Suns. There's so many teams you could have put in.
I think the Suns and Nuggets are a bad match. Like, that makes no sense on Christmas Day. Like, the Suns could be playing the Mavs. I think the Suns should be playing the Mavs.
No doubt. Or the Pelicans.
For real. Yep, So I just think it's wild.
Pat Bev gonna push somebody.
but look at these games though. The whole lineup of the Christmas Day is kind of weak, if we're being honest.
No real
rivalry for any of the teams really. Bucks and Celtics, they're not really rivalry. Brooklyn, they're just good teams.
No Brooklyn either.
No Brooklyn.
I went to Brooklyn versus the Knicks. That's what I would have did.
Exactly. Or even Brooklyn versus the Lakers. You could
yes,
do that.
Katie.
Something.
You can do that. Yo, I don't understand. The NBA, they messed up this Christmas. I ain't gonna lie. They messed up, bro.
They did. So, all right. So, just out of these games, then, which player will benefit the most of getting that Christmas Day exposure?
I think for me personally, I think it's going to be Ja Morant. I think he's going to get the most because, number one, he's going to have a highlight reel. And number two, there's going to be a lot more eyes. So, you know, it's going to be easier for them to digest on Christmas Day if you've seen highlights. And I think they're the only team on this list that really is going in to make a statement. I think every other team just doesn't care. It's just a regular game. But for the Grizzlies, I think that's the only team that actually cares about this Christmas Day game. So I think Ja's probably going to benefit the most.
Oh, like Will, I ain't asked you though. Will, what's your favorite game on this docket?
Oh, you know I'm a Knicks fan, so it's going to be the Knicks versus the Sixers. Think about it. The Knicks, they won 8 in a row, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're tied for the fifth seed in the East with the Sixers. So this is a game that actually has some, although a slight, it has some meaning to it.
Mm. Yep.
Right? This should be a game that should be highly contested between both teams. So it should be a game that both teams should be ramped up for and want to really win.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that game.
Yeah, I would say too also, and we're talking about players to watch, you know, that's gonna be blessed by this exposure. I think Jalen Brunson with this opportunity, man, I think this is for the whole, in terms of the national media or national basketball, like fans out there outside of New York, to see how much of a dog this dude is. You know what I'm saying? Like, they saw him as a backup with Dallas, but it's an opportunity to have him he plays in the Garden, so he's already playing it, you know, with the brightest lights. But on Christmas Day, for everybody to see, I think to see Jalen Brunson, how he goes ham and clutch, how he's just been such a leader for that basketball team. I think him having this opportunity on Christmas Day is going to open a lot of eyes, and maybe to a point where, you know, he could be in the talk for making the All-Star team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I agree, definitely. Yeah, I definitely think he's going to have a good game, and I think he's a catalyst for the Knicks right
now.
So
is, man. He's
their most important player for the Knicks. Unfortunately, because it should be RJ Barrett, in my opinion.
He just hasn't come all around. I don't know what's wrong with him.
He's not ready.
But it's cool though, man. I think the Knicks have something. They have something going, man. For me, I mean, obviously, I mean, my favorite game is the Grizzlies versus. It was gonna be if Steph was playing, but now I don't even know anymore. I ain't gonna lie to you.
No Kevin Durant on Christmas is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's racist.
NBA,
like,
they gotta be fine.
They got to, man. They got to. And now they looking stupid because now you know the Nets are looking legit. Like they looking dumb now.
Well.
Good.
I think there's a legitimate reason why they weren't playing for Christmas, because if you think about in the summer, none of us knew if Kevin Durant or Kyrie were going to be there.
Yeah, true.
So you don't want to schedule that team with no superstar.
On Christmas
Day, because that would have been a terrible game. That'd have been one of those games where people just say, "All right, well, I guess this is when I'm taking my nap."
That's true. But to be honest, the Knicks could have easily been cellar dwellers at this point too. They could have easily been at 11th place, so they didn't know they were going to be good.
This is true,
Knicks are always playing. The Knicks are always playing on Christmas when they're garbage. Trust me, I'm in New York. They always on Christmas and they always garbage. So I mean, they could have sacrificed it and just still chose the Nets anyway, man. For real.
Hey, man. Yep. Hey, homie, man. Thanks for being on, man. You know I appreciate you. Before I let you go, tell our listeners about your next pod and where they can find it, and also how can they catch you on social media, my man?
Yes, my brother. I appreciate you two fellas for inviting me on, man. It's always love when you guys bring me on, man. I appreciate it. And
anytime, man.
I got an episode dropping tomorrow. Dope. I'm uploading this shit right now, so go look out for that tomorrow. It'll be out in the morning. You can find me on Twitter at @JustBlaze_513. IG is the same shit @JustBlaze_513. Just hit me up all on there. And Bola, you coming back on the episode soon, my brother. We gotta talk some Lakers.
Oh, man, why you gonna do that to me? Why you wanna talk to me Lakers, man? We can talk Wizards.
Come on, we got to. I gotta get on your case. All right,
man.
We
can do it, man. I've actually become a Russ fan, you know what I'm saying? So we can do it.
I see you on your Commanders talk all day. I see you.
Hey, man, anytime, man. You know, anytime you need me, I'm on.
All right, brother. Ray, take it easy, man. Take it easy, fellas.
All right, fam. Appreciate you.
All right,
later.
All right, later, man. Hey, that's my homie, Just Blaze, man. You can follow Just Blaze on Twitter. That's @JustBlaze_513. That's @JustBlaze_513. All right, time to wrap this show up. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on Twitter @UrbanSportsScene, IG @UrbanSportsScene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. And check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, which is Amp Pyre Media, at amppyremedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amp Pyre shows, as well as other great content. Hey, this has been a dope show. I appreciate Just Blaze for being on. I appreciate Kyle Mosley for being on, man. We had great guests. Always appreciate the fellas, Will T and Ray Jeezy. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Is Will T still there? No for ages? Oh, Will T, no for ages? Oh, I'll do it. Anyway, you are listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces, A-Mega, lead us out, big homie. Yes.